Father, thank you for this marvelous day that you've given us. We thank you for being able to come together again to hear your word. As we learn about what it means to be in fellowship with you, I pray that we will find encouragement, strength, and power, knowing that we are not alone because you're right beside us when we take this journey through life. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We are on our journey of spiritual unity, and I am going to go with the fellowship with God. We're going to talk about fellowship with God. And before I even get started, Pastor, you're so right. I was thinking about a book. Uh-huh. You know, we all could write a book, and we could title it Before and After, because we have a life before Christ. But what a great life we have after Christ. I tell you, we all have a story to tell. Now, all right, fellowship with God. All right, let's begin. All right. The Greek word, well, let me do this first. Before we even go over that, I'm going to go give you some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:9, and that's page 1395 in the Voice. Okay, so we all going by the Voice. And then we have 2 Corinthians 13:14, page 1426. 1 John 1:3, page 1513. Okay, and Leviticus 19, that's the one I didn't get. Leviticus 19:34. I'll get back to that in a moment because I didn't get the page for that, but that's one of the scriptures. Then we have 1 John 4:19, page 1516. We have Colossians 1:21, page 1450. 1 John 5:20. Dang, it's another one I don't have a page for. 1 John 5:20. Then we have John 13:34-35, page 1313. Then last one is Matthew 22:37-40, page 1185.
Leviticus, okay. Page 147.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I forgot, one I didn't have, 1 John 5:20.
I believe page 1516.
Thank you.
1517.
Thank you very, very, very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Now, as we get started, the Greek word translated fellowship in the New Testament is koinonia. That's K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, meaning partnership, sharing in common, communion, and the essence of partnership is the agreement or unity of purpose. Fellowship with God is, at its most basic, agreement with Him in all things. The New Testament assures believers of this partnership. You are connecting in a meaningful way and intimately sharing your feelings with God. You are experiencing a communion with Him. You have a spiritual connection. The Latin word for communion is communionem. I was like, okay, it's communion. And then it has N-E-M at the end. So it's communionem, which means not only do we have fellowship with God the Father, but we also have fellowship with his Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Count on this. God is faithful, and in his faithfulness called you out into an intimate relationship with his Son, our Lord Jesus, the Anointed. 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the Anointed, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with you all. 1 John 1:3 says, what we saw and heard, we pass on to you, that you too will be connected with us intimately and become family. Our family is united by our connection with the Father and his Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. Relationships cannot be life-giving sources of strength if we are not present in and to them. Communion with God is a deep need for every human, whether we acknowledge the need or not. Communion with God is how we are made to function, and it is ultimately about a loving and very present relationship with our triune creator. Triune relates to the Trinity, which we learned last week is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which they all are one God. As Christians, we are called to cultivate loving concern for other people, but this always should be understood in light of how we're drawn into our life-giving relationship with God himself. Leviticus 19:34 says, you must treat the outsider as one of your native people, as a full citizen, and you are to love him in the same way you love yourself. For remember, you were once strangers living in Egypt. I am the eternal one, your God. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. We were made to enjoy our creator, to bask in his faithful presence. He knows how life-giving communion with him works, and he grieves over how sin threatens to distort our fellowship with him. Love, even with the creator, is meant to be mutual and not one-sided. We are to speak, listen, receive, and give. Being in communion with God and with others is the key to being successful and prosperous in the things of the Lord. Fellowship with God can only be possible through the blood of Christ. Before we are saved, we are at enmity with God. As believers, we not only have been rescued from the damning consequences of sin, but also have been invited into restored fellowship with God. The world is broken, and so are we. This brokenness affects every part of us, including and especially our relationship with God. Once we discover forgiveness and the promise of communion with God, with the God of the universe, we are ushered into a holy sanctuary. In his divine presence, we inevitably see our sin, but we also discover the depth of his grace and the incredible truth that he desires to be with us. He desires communion with us so much that he died in order to make it possible. Colossians 1:21. You were once at odds with God, wicked in your ways and evil in your minds. But Jesus reconciled us to God through his death on the cross. When we repent of our sin and trust in Christ, the result is that now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only one true God, and he is eternal life. It is important to know that fellowship with God comes exclusively through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Yet throughout the ages, man has attempted to devise other paths to God through false teachings, or they thought that they could live in such a way as to merit his approval. We cannot have fellowship with God if we reject his son, dispute his predestined plan of salvation, or attempt to find another path to his presence. 1 John 5:20. We also can be sure of the fact that the Son of God has come and given us a mind so that we may know him as the embodiment of all that is true. We live in this truth. His son, Jesus, the anointed one, he is the true God and eternal life. Scripture identifies some things that are at odds with true fellowship with God. The mind governed by the flesh, friendship with the world. James 4 talks about that. So in your time, spare time, read James 4. God is light, and light cannot have fellowship with darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we don't live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from sin. When we are in fellowship with God, we are trusting in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven and we are filled with his spirit. We believe that in all things, God deserves to be glorified. We spend time in his word, we pray, and we're in pursuit of spiritual wisdom and insight to grow in the knowledge of God and to grow in the knowledge of God and form a very close bond with the Father. John 13:34-35. So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you. Demonstrate your love for others in the same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Certainly, our communion with Christ is a private and intimate matter, but there is a large portion of it that is public and authentically demonstrated by our love for others. Since we are called to love God and love what he loves, then we are also called to love people. In fact, Jesus says that loving God and your neighbor are the two commandments which the entire law and the prophets depend upon. Matthew 22:37-40. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. So, teacher, can you tell me, what is the best commandment of all? And Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The whole law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. Simply put, it all boils down to this. No one can love God and have fellowship with Christ without loving others. Thus, our true love, devotion, and service to others in the name of Christ is an authentic demonstration of our communion with Christ. The word of God is all that we need for fellowship with him. We glorify him by submitting to his will and obeying the commands contained in his word. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And not a fear that we're afraid, but a fear that we're in awe of God, that we trust God. That kind of fear, that we know God. The fear of knowing that he loves us. It's not a fear of being afraid, because we should not be afraid of God, because he made us and he loves us. But we have to respect who he is and respect his character. That kind of fear. It also says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Let us enjoy the harmony, contentment, and the joy of fellowship that God has provided us all with. Amen. Father, we bless you. We love you. We honor you. You are so worthy of the glory and praise. It was through the great sacrifice of their son that we were permitted to be reconciled back to you. We appreciate the fellowship and communion that you have given us. Mm. We owe you our all. And we thank you for the great love you have for us.
Thank you.
It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.